Please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. The 8th chapter of 1 Kings in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 399. Beginning with verse 54, we'll read through verse 61. We have one other reference to turn to after that. We'll read the verses responsively. Verse 56 is the text verse. Let's stand, please, as we always do here at First Baptist Church for the reading of the Word of God. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us, nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times as the matter shall require. That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, and that there is none else. Let your heart, therefore, be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes, and to keep his commandments, as at this day. Turn now to the book of Luke, chapter 16, page 1098, that's 1098. We'll read just one verse, a very important verse, Luke chapter 16 and verse 17. Join with me, please, on the 17th verse. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Let's pray. Father, this is certainly a wonderful, miraculous book that you've given us. Thank you for those who paid the price in centuries past to help preserve it. And of course, it's been preserved for us. How grateful we should be and how good thou hast been to do this for us. Now we have here that which we need from thee. Help us to make use of it as we read it throughout the year. Help us also to listen attentively, as is our privilege each and every service. So bless our preacher, the message, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm emphasizing, or have been, for two of the last three Sunday nights, the Bible. Tonight I'm going to speak on the subject, not one word has failed, and not one tittle has passed away. I read for you, without your turning to it, two verses read a while ago. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass than for one tittle of the law to fail. Somebody asked me one time, some preacher in a question and answer session, said, you don't believe in verbal inspiration, do you? I said, I believe in tittle inspiration. And look at me now. Look at me. What was the tittle? The nearest thing we'd have to it would be an accent. For example, you put an accent where you emphasize a syllable. What God is saying here is not only not one word shall pass away, but not one accent shall pass away. Not one accent in a word, a punctuation, if you please, will pass away. Then I read you another passage that is really my text tonight. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people, Israel, according to all that he hath promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he had promised with the hand of Moses' servant. Now that's talking about the Pentateuch, the first five books in the Bible. God said, now let me say this, this is not 2 weeks after the Pentateuch was written. This is probably over 2,000 years after the Pentateuch was written. This verse was written as close to the Pentateuch as we are today to the New Testament. That's how long. Now by the way, we have so many more ways to preserve the words of God than they had then. But miraculously, for probably over 2,000, maybe 2,500 years, are you listening to me, young people? Listen to me now, no talking. Probably 2,000, 2,500 years, God's word had been preserved. And it says here that not one word has failed. That word fail means diminished, then changed. It's exactly as it was when Moses gave it. So I want to speak tonight on the subject, not one word has failed, and not one tittle has passed away, or vice versa. Our Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts tonight, and I pray that through the message, we'll become just a little more people of the Word of God, people of the book, in Jesus' name. Amen. My goal is for the Bible to be dearer to you than it ever has been. This church has always been a church since I've been here, and I'm sure through the years, has been a church of the book. This church has been built on the book. And now I'd like for that to transfer into your own personal life. I like for transferring your own private devotions or your home, your family, and make your life a life of the book. In the first 3 centuries after Christ, the Roman Empire 10 times tried to stamp out the Word of God. The Roman Empire is buried in the cemetery of kingdom failures, and the Bible lives on. Mohammedism in the 8th century tried to exterminate the Bible, Muhammad, and it only inspired its spread to the rest of the world. Nero ordered its destruction. Nero is in hell, and the Bible lives on. Hitler said he would destroy the Bible. Hitler's dead, and the Bible lives on. Stalin said that he would trample God's word. Stalin's feet lie in the dust, and the Bible is trampling on and trampling its enemies. Lenin said that the Bible would die in his day. Lenin died, and the Bible still lives. Thomas Paine said that the Bible would not be printed in his lifetime. The Bible would cease to be printed. After he died, they took the very printing presses on which he printed that garbage and printed more Bibles. Others have tried to destroy it. Voltaire tried to destroy it. Voltaire is dead and in hell, and the Bible lives on. Khrushchev tried to destroy it. Khrushchev is dead, and the Bible lives on. Brezhnev tried to destroy it. Brezhnev is dead, and the Bible lives on. Mussolini tried to destroy it. In Italy, Mussolini is dead, and the Bible lives on. Nebuchadnezzar tried to destroy the Word of God. Nebuchadnezzar's been dead now for several thousand years, but the Bible is still in existence and still lives on. Roman Empire tried to destroy the Bible. Roman Empire's history, and the Bible is still prophecy. And Herod tried to destroy the Bible. And in our day, secular universities have tried to destroy the Bible. And when these so-called professors are burning in hell, the Bible will still live on. Thomas Nelson publishers have tried to destroy the Bible. They don't intend to, but they've tried to with their putting out new Bibles, so-called new Bibles. But the old King James Bible is healthier tonight than it ever has been. Broadman Press and Zondervan and seminaries and Christian, so-called Christian colleges and Bible institutes have tried to pervert, add to, take away, change, or destroy the Bible. And any of those is an effort to destroy the Bible. Now you sit with the house. You're trying to say that when Zondervan printed the NIV Bible, the New International Version, they were trying to destroy the Bible? No, I don't think they had that in mind. I think they were just so dumb. They were destroying it and trying to destroy it and didn't know it. That's all I think. But the Bible lives on, and it cannot be destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. You know that this book right here is the only eternal book in the entire world. It is the only eternal book. Now, this book is not all that God has said, but all in this book is what God has said. One of the great things about heaven is going to be to read all the things that God had said and study all the things that God had said that were not for us down on earth during our lifetime. But every word in this book is what God has said, and it is the only eternal book. For example, Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. How many times have I told you this? The Bible, somebody said, well, Paul wrote the Bible in his own language. No, God wrote the Bible in his language and made a Paul that would put it in the same language. That's all. Paul did not get, as they say, Paulinian theology and Petrian theology. No, it's God theology. And he just chose these men, or made these men, so they would write it as it was already written. The Bible, there never was a time when there was no Bible. Just like there never was a time when there was no Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. And there never was a time when there was no Heavenly Father. Never was a time when there was no Holy Spirit. And there never was a time when this book did not exist. It always was. Now what happened? God just chose these various men and said, I want you to pen what is already written in heaven. Oh, the big theologians who think they're smart but are as dumb as King Tut. The big theologians say, well, that's mechanical dictation. You call it exactly what you want to call it, Buster. But God gave the very words to holy men of old. I recall, and I told you this years ago, my first secretary, I won't give you her name, but she was an older lady. I would think now I would call her a younger lady. But I was about 25 years old, and my first full-time secretary. And she had been Dr. Criswell's secretary at the First Baptist Church of Dallas. And so I those days didn't have dictaphone machines. I dictated letters to her in person. And so the first time I dictated letters to her, I probably dictated 15, 20 letters to her. And then came time for me to sign them. And then I signed them and started reading them. It didn't sound like what I had dictated. And I got to wondering if she had changed my words. And so I called her in and I said, Mrs. I won't tell you your name, but it's what a pencil is when it's not dull. I said, would you please read me this letter I wrote? And she said, it's not necessary. I said, if I say it is this, read me the letter. And she started reading it. She had changed my words. And I said, listen, this is not the way I dictated the letter. Well, she said, you're a young man, and I've been trained at the feet of Dr. Criswell, and I have learned how to use the English language a bit better than a young man. And I said, you'll use it somewhere else rather than my secretary, and you are fired. And I got mad. I mean real mad. And I said, get out, right now, get out. You think I'm mad because she changed my word? Do you think God thinks when he changed his eternal word? Well, and then in 1 Peter 1:23, the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And Mark 13:31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And 1 Peter 1:25, the word of God endureth forever. Isaiah 40:8, the grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Matthew 5:18, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. In Luke 21:33, my word shall not pass away. In Matthew 5:18, I've already mentioned that, not one jot or tittle. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, this is the only arriving in the whole world that will endure forever. I'm saying when the kingdoms of this earth have become history, the Bible will still linger. When the dictators of this world have laughed at it for the last time, the Bible shall still linger. When the mountains have been leveled and the valleys have been raised, and when kingdoms have crumbled and the heaven and earth shall pass away, that book right there shall live forever. And yet, there it sits in your house shut while you watch Oprah, while you watch the prime time television programs at night. Those things will pass away. Oprah will pass away. The prime time television will pass away. As the world turns, will pass away. The soap operas will pass away. The newspapers will pass away. The magazines will pass away. But this book will never pass away. And yet there it sits in your house shut while you watch garbage on television, listen to garbage kind of music, and read papers. I'm trying to tell you the Word of God will linger forever. The Hammond Times will pass away. There will be no vending machines in heaven where you can pick up a Hammond Times on the way home from work. The Tribune will not be delivered to your doorstep. There'll be no Ladies Home Journal. Be no Sports Illustrated, Sporting News. There'll be no newsstands, Wall Street Journal, Reader's Digest, National Geographic. No Newsweek, no U.S. News and World Report. No Woman's Home Companion, no Vogue, no Sports. No New York Times, Atlanta Constitution, Dallas Morning News, USA Today, Playboy, Penthouse, L.A. Times, Minneapolis Star, St. Louis Globe Democrat, San Francisco Examiner, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, Detroit News, Detroit Free Press, Houston Chronicle, New Orleans Picayune, Miami Herald, Corpus Christi Caller-Times, Charlotte Observer, Philadelphia Inquirer, Atlanta Journal, Akron Journal, Indianapolis Star, Chicago Daily Herald, Des Moines Register, Cleveland Plain Dealer, but this book will abide forever and ever and ever. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to study this book than when we first begun. Let me warn some of you. You really may not enjoy heaven. I mean that. Some of you are not really going to enjoy heaven. I have some bad news for you, though. If you're saved, you've got to go. Because you won't be able to pick up a paper in a newsstand when you get to heaven. It'll be the Word of God, God's book. It'll be the Galveston Genesis and the El Paso Exodus and the Los Angeles Leviticus, the New Orleans Numbers and Dallas Deuteronomy and Jacksonville Joshua and Jackson, Michigan Judges and Rochester Ruth and San Antonio Samuel and Kansas Kings and Chicago Chronicles and Emporia Ezra and New York Nehemiah and El Centro Esther and Jackson, Tennessee Job and Pittsburgh Psalms and Philadelphia Proverbs, Enterprise Ecclesiastes, San Francisco Song of Solomon, Illinois Isaiah, Jacksonville Jeremiah, the Las Vegas Lamentations, Escondido Ezekiel, the Detroit Daniel, the Houston Hosea, the Minneapolis Minor Prophets, the Mobile Matthew, the Manchester Mark, the Los Alamos Luke, the Jordan John, the Atlanta Acts, the Rome Romans, Cincinnati Corinthians, the Galena Galatians, El Cerritos, Litos Ephesians, Pinellas Park Philippians, the Cleveland Coliseum, the Tulsa Thessalonians, Colossians, the Tulsa Thessalonians, the Tampa Timothy, Talladega Titus, can't read this one, and the Houston Hebrews, and the Jackson Mississippi James, and the Port Arthur Peter, and the Judson John, and the Jacksonville North Carolina Jude, and the Rock Island Revelation, brother. You get used to it. That's what's going to be sold or given in the little dispensers when you get to heaven. Now you listen to me. I'm saying some of you folks are not going to enjoy heaven. But you got to go. You'll be bored to death. You'll walk out during the invitation. You won't have much fun, let me do the preaching, fellas. You won't have much fun, but you've got to go. You will not enjoy it. Hey, if you don't enjoy church here, you won't enjoy heaven at all.
You don't enjoy the songs of God here. You won't enjoy the songs of God there. You don't enjoy this eternal book now. You won't enjoy the eternal book when you get to heaven. But you got to go. You say, well, I don't want to go. It's too late. Should have thought about that before you joined up. We'll spend eternity listening to Moses teach a course on the Pentateuch. Paul teaching epistles. David teaching the Psalms. Solomon teaching the Proverbs. John teaching the four Gospels. And 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Isaiah teaching the major prophets. Daniel teaching prophecy. Hosea teaching the minor prophets. Job teaching patience. Paul teaching church planning. David teaching music. Philip teaching soul winning. And Jack Bennington teaching Bible prophecy. You know why he'll teach it? Because then he'll agree with me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you like it or not, you're going to spend eternity with this book. Now, get acquainted with it! Look what God has done with His Word. By His Word, He created the earth. By His Word, He raised the Adirondack Mountains. By His Word, He lifted the Rockies. By His Word, He elevated the Alps. By His Word, He carved the gorges. By His Word, He painted the desert. By His Word, He whittled the mighty Amazon. By His Word, He whittled the Mississippi. By His Word, He filled the oceans. By His Word, He poured the lakes. By His Word, He lowered the valleys. By His Word, He leveled the plains. By His Word, He rounded the hills. By His Word, He chiseled Gibraltar. By His Word, islands were resurrected from watery graves. By His Word, He formed the pillowy clouds. By His Word, He scented the gardenia. By His Word, He painted the rose. By His Word, He arranged the daffodil. By His Word, He formed Diamond Head and Grand Canyon and the Carlsbad Cavern. And all of that was done by the Word of God. And there you got a copy of it in God's name. Read it, read it, read it, read it. Everything that God has ever done, God has done with His Word. 10 times it says in creation story, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God said, divide the waters above, the waters of waters beneath. 10 times. Everything that God ever created, He did it by His Word. By His Word, Jesus stilled the stormy winds. By His Word, He calmed the nervous seas. By His Word, He gave sight to blind Bartimaeus. By His Word, He raised Lazarus from an angry grave. By His Word, He directed a fish to swallow a coin. By His Word, He called that fish to Himself. By His Word, that fish vomited the coin so Jesus could pay His taxes. I'm going fishing tomorrow. By His Word, He healed the cripple at Bethesda. By His Word, He expelled demons. By His Word, He fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. By His Word, He turned the water into wine. By His Word, He commanded devils to resign. By His Word, He rooted deaf ears. By His Word, He resisted Satan's temptation. By His Word, He reinforced crippled legs. By His Word, He gave intelligence to dumb tongues. By His Word, He postponed the funeral during His processional. By His Word, He cast demons into hogs and caused the hogs to plunge into the water, kill themselves, and commit hogicide. By His Word. God speaks and the sun rises. God tells the sun when to rise and set. God speaks and the moon changes its shape. He speaks and the rain falls. He speaks and snow tiptoes to the earth. He speaks and lightning gives its great fireworks demonstration while thunder applauds its performance. I'm saying everything that God has ever done, He's done through this book. And yet you think you can build a home without the book. You think you can build a marriage without the book. You think you can build a life without the book. And a bunch of new evangelicals think they can build churches without the book. They may build some new evangelical churches where a bunch of long-haired rock music is played and a bunch of philosophy is given, but they can't build a church that Jesus started without the book. By His Word, He laid the foundations of the earth. By His Word, He laid the earth's cornerstone. By His Word, He drops the morning dew. By his word, he sends the holy frost from heaven. By his word, the raven has sent his lunch. By his word, he painted the wings of the peacock. By his word, he commands the eagle to rev its motors for takeoff and landing. By his word, he shakes the earth into a quake. And even when he comes again, he's going to come again and put down the Antichrist by the spirit of his mouth and the brightness of his coming. I read an article the other day about the Battle of Armageddon. It talked about how nations of the east or west are going to fight the nations of the north and east in the Battle of Armageddon. I've got news for you. That's not the Battle of Armageddon. Those are battles that lead up to the Battle of Armageddon. You've heard me say it. Russia will come on little Palestine and invade Palestine because she wants the riches in the Dead Sea and the riches of Palestine. She'll invade Israel. And all of a sudden she will come with Libya and with Eastern Germany and with Turkey and with Iran and other nations and march on little Palestine or little Israel. When that happens, America will come in defense of Israel because we don't want Russia to get the wealth of the Dead Sea and the wealth of Israel. So the Western powers, if you please, the revived Roman Empire, if you please, the common market nations, if you please, headed by the United States of America, shall come and fight with Russia on the mountains of Israel. And we'll be winning the battle when Russia will seek help from the east. And the Euphrates River shall be dried. And China and Japan shall come on little Israel. And with Russia from the north and China and Japan from the east and the Western powers from the west, a mighty battle. But that's not the Battle of Armageddon. Because the Western powers shall win that battle, and a man we call the Antichrist, the man of sin, will rise up and be dictator of all the earth. How many times have I said, he'll look toward the south and say, I've conquered the south. He'll look toward the east, the west, the east and south, conquered the east. He'll look toward the west and say, I've conquered the west. He'll look toward the north and say, I've conquered the north. But there's one place he won't look, and that's toward the sky. And the sky shall open. And Jesus himself and all the holy angels and saints of God with him shall come back on white horses. How will Jesus destroy the forces of the Antichrist with bombs and airplanes and mortars and guns and weapons? So with the spirit of his mouth, he'll speak and the battle will be won. When Jesus was tempted, Satan tempted him to turn the stones into bread. If he had done that, that's no great miracle. Many young men are married to women who turn bread into stones every night. He was commanded to turn the stones into bread. Bread into stones or something. What? Stones into bread. He was tempted. How did he resist? He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. Then the devil came and tempted him again. He took him up on the pinnacle of the temple and said, jump off and people will see that you're God. And Jesus once again was tempted, but he resisted the devil when he said, it is written. The second time, it is written. Then the devil said to him, took him and showed him the kingdoms of the earth. And he said, these are my kingdoms. I'm the God of this world. And that's true according to Paul's writing. I'm the God of this world. You bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all of these kingdoms. Jesus said for the third time, it is written. Now you listen to me. If the Son of God himself fought the temptations of Satan with the word, it is written. It is written. He pulled out the sword and jabbed him and said, it's written. It's written. It's written. Do you think you're going to get by without the Word of God? Folks over here, hey, sit down. Hey, fella, sit down. We're having a church here. Now you listen to me. You young people think you can make it through high school without resisting temptation and without yielding to temptation? If the Son of God, the Savior himself, took the sword and resisted temptation, you're not going to make it through without this Bible. You're not going to do it. By his word, he files the flight plan for every bird and determines when or where he falls or lands. By his word, he charts the watery journey of every fish that swims. By his word, he leads the instinct of every beast in the field. By his word, he chose to give us the mighty lion, to amuse us with the funny hippo, and to startle us with the strange giraffe, and to feed us with the grazing cattle. By his word, he gave us fruit and beans and spinach and cauliflower and squash and carrots and peas and broccoli and fried okra and oranges and bananas and pears and Big Macs and quarter pounders with cheese. He spoke and Whoppers came into existence. By his word, he gave us pizza and enchiladas and Kentucky Fried Chicken and corny dogs and French fries, hallelujah, and egg rolls and thick and gravy and cornbread and chow mein and burritos and tacos and yogurt and pecan pie a la mode and French fried onion rings and brownies and watermelons and chitlins. And you think you can live without it. I challenge you to make 1998 the year of the Bible in your life. By his word, he created man in his own image. And then by his word, he created the loveliest of all creatures, a horse. He took a rib beneath the heart of man and created woman. And there she comes, woman, God's loveliest creation, adorned with all of heaven and earth, and all that heaven and earth could bestow upon her to make her amiable. Grace was in her step. Heaven was in her eye. Every gesture possessed dignity and love. Perfection was stamped on her manner. The sons of God shouted for joy. The morning stars sang together. Eden was transformed. The earth was sad. The garden wild. The hermit sighed. Till woman smiled. On the first day, he divided light from darkness by his word. On the second day, the waters above were divided from the waters beneath by his word. On the third day, plant life appeared by his word. On the fourth day, sun, moon, and stars were made visible by his word. On the fifth day, he created the beast of the field by his word. On the sixth day, he created man and woman by his word, and all were created by the never living, never dying, never extinguished word of God. Psalm 19:11 says his word keeps us from sin. Psalm 119:28 says his word keeps me strong. John 15:7 says his word is the key to answered prayer. 1 Peter 2:2 says that his word helps us to grow in grace. 2 Peter 1:4 says his word makes me a partaker of his divine nature. Acts 20:32 says his word builds us up. 2 Timothy 3:6 says his word reproves, corrects, instructs. Get that? It tells me when I am doing wrong, it gives me the right to do, and then teaches me how to do what's right. Hebrews 4:12 says his word gives me proper thoughts and motives. Proverbs 35 says his word shields me. Joshua 1:8 says his word makes me prosperous and successful. Psalm 119:165 says his word keeps me from being offended. Luke 1:70 and 79 says his word gives me peace. In John 8:32 it says his word gives me freedom. In Psalm 119:105 it says his word's a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. It tells me what to do today and how to go, where to go tomorrow. In Proverbs 4:20 through 22, it says the word gives me health. One book, this book right here that you keep closed while you're watching television. This book right here that you keep closed and read less than you read the daily newspaper. This book is a combination and a compilation. It'll do you more good than health clubs plus motivation books plus success seminars plus Alcoholics Anonymous plus the psychologist, the psychiatrist, and plus Robert Shuler, plus Norman Vincent Peale, plus the Promise Keepers, this one book. And there it sits, clothed. Clothed with the righteousness of God and clothed as far as your reading is concerned. Then how can you build a marriage without it? That's the question. Is marriage God's institution? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes or no? It's God's institution, and all that God has ever done has been done by His Word, then you can't build a successful marriage without His Word. Is the home God's institution? Yes or no? If the home is God's institution, all that God's ever done, He's done by His Word, you can't build a home without the Word of God. And you can't build a public school system by kicking the Word of God out. And that's why, listen, did you ever stop and think that before they kicked the Bible out of the public school system, we didn't have policemen in the hallways? Did you ever stop and think that we had a pretty decent public school system before we took the Bible out? You can't run a business. You can't run a school. You can't run a church. You can't, and you don't you forget that, young preachers. You can't build a church because you get up and fight a bunch of sins. And you can't build a church just by fighting women wearing pants and women wearing shorts and men wearing earrings. You've got to get in this book to build a church. You can't build a marriage without it. You can't build a home without it. You can't build a church without it. You can't build a business without it. You can't build a college without it. And you can't build a nation without it. So you can have your word of knowledge. I'll take the word of God. You can have your charismatic messages that come from heaven. For as I'm concerned, they don't come from heaven. You give me a word, a book that came from heaven and has been preserved word for word all these years. You can have your visions. Give me the word of God. You can have your possibility thinking. Just give me the word of God. You can have your American Standard Version, just give me the Word of God. You can have your New American Standard Version, just give me the Word of God. You can have your New International Version, the NIV, just give me the old King James Preserved Word of God. You can have your New King James Version, just give me the Word of God. You can have your Reader's Digest Version, Condensed Version, just give me the Word of God. You can have your New Scofield Version, just give me the Word of God. You can have your Phillips translation, just give me the Word of God. You can have your Goodspeed translation, just give me the Word of God. You can have your Amplified New Testament, just give me the Word of God. You can have your Moffat's Bible, just give me the Word of God. You can have your Douay version, give me the Word of God. You can have the Book of Mormon, give me the Word of God. You can have the Koran, just give me God's eternal Word. Give me that indestructible, all-powerful, eternal, undefeatable, inexhaustible, verbally inspired Word of God. Not one word has failed, and not even one tittle or accent shall pass away. I